Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. How are you doing? I hope you're well in this cold spell again, because it's kind of frosty and cold, but at least we get some sunshine. So very British talking about the weather all the time, but it makes such a difference. I don't know if it's just me, but honestly, when we have days and days and days where it's really dark and kind of there's just no sunshine, you can understand why people really suffer from seasonal affective disorder. It makes such a difference, you know, to your mood. So there's a little bit of sunshine at the moment, which is really lovely, even though it's cold as I'm recording this podcast. So it's been another interesting week with stuff in the news. I won't get into one of my rants. but, you know, we've had a lot of stuff going down in the Sober Club as well. And we seem to find ourselves talking about sugar a lot. There's been an awful lot of discussion around people just finding that once they ditch the booze, they're that, you know, the kind of the cross addictions creep in, and all of our, we're wired, aren't we? We're literally wired to reach for sugar from such an early age. You know, oh dear, you've fallen over, have a sweet, have a biscuit. It's so ingrained in us, along with the alcohol as we get to our teenage years, of course. And we just need a whole load of relearning around this stuff and change those neural pathways, really. It just feels so important, the more work I do around this. So in our Sober Club member portal, we've got some really fantastic resources around how we can tame the sugar monster, you know, and the different approaches, the different things that we can do. Because, of course, it's never only just one thing, is it? It's really not as simple as, oh, well, I'll just stop eating it completely. Number one, that's difficult to do. It's not quite the same as alcohol. We can't just not have food that has sugar in it, because unfortunately some does. But, you know, we can look at different aspects of how we can use alternatives to sugar. And then also, of course, there is the whole emotional piece, the whole mindset piece, which is very linked, just like it is with alcohol. As I say, we see it as our comfort. It's those neural pathways that tell us, I want a reward. You know, I've had a busy day. You know, haven't even had a drink, for God's sake. Give me the sugar. So it's very normal that we feel that way. But of course, we have to, certainly once we've ditched the booze, we have to start to think, okay, so what shall I have a look at now? What shall I unwrap now? But, you know, let's face it, if you can ditch the booze, you can do anything, right? I had this conversation with a client the other day. She was feeling nervous about something, you know, in her life. And I just reminded her just how amazing it is if you do, when you do this thing. From that place, you are so much more resilient, so much more effective, and you're just more vibrant, and just everything changes once you stop drinking. I think you've heard me say that a few times. And I'm going to be chatting to a Sober Club member who lives in the States. I thought it'd be nice to get her take on stuff. So we'll be doing that in a little while as well. But this week, I'm really excited to tell you, I've actually got a little sponsor for the podcast. So that's, you know, it's that's kind of new for me, really. But I think I might have mentioned on the podcast when I was chatting with Susan from Hola Sober that I'm not a big fan of podcasts that buy into these kind of ad networks. You know, I appreciate that, you know, it might bring you in money, but personally, I really don't like it when a podcast opens up with an ad, you know, for something completely unrelated, and then you're literally halfway through a deep and meaningful conversation about mental health and well-being or sobriety, and then up pops literally in the middle of a word sometimes. Up pops a random ad for a, you know, a drain cleaner or telling you to have a flu vaccine. I don't think so. So I've never wanted to go that route. But what I do love to do is support brands that are, you know, kind of making a difference, and things that I love myself. And obviously I have a site called imperfectlynatural.com, and that's where I talk about all my holistic living, well-being stuff. which of course is underpinned by sobriety, but we go much wider there. And so I thought, you know, to that end, why not? This brand, Dentec, asked if they could be on the podcast, and I thought, why not? Not least because what I've had going on in the last few months is, oh my goodness, one heck of a load of really pretty horrible dental work. And some of you might be old enough to remember the Pam Ayres poem, "I Wish I'd Looked After My Teeth." I'm not going to read it to you. Oh, my goodness, I feel like my grandma now. I'm not going to read it to you, but it's funny, and we used to laugh about it all the time. But I would laugh about it while not looking after my teeth. That's the reality of it. And now I look back, you've heard me say many times, I only have a couple of regrets. You know, one is that I did not do this sooner. I so should have ditched the booze so much sooner. It is a big regret. I really, really, really wish I'd done it sooner. And I also wish I'd looked after my teeth. I really do. And when you're drinking, there's a direct link here. There really is a correlation, because when you're drinking, things, you know, that level of self-care and taking, you know, taking care of yourself, a lot of the time it goes out the window. And I remember really clearly that there were many years went by where, you know, it just felt too much effort to really go and have a hygienist appointment, or just too much effort to sort out stuff that I knew needed sorting out. So unless there was like a major, major, major pain, I wouldn't do anything. And that went on for, there was certainly a good kind of 18 months, maybe 2 years, where I really didn't darken the door of a dental surgery. And then, you know, then obviously I ditched the booze. So I became a little bit more aware of the importance of this kind of stuff. And so I had a couple of appointments with a dentist and realised that all was not fabulous, let's put it that way. And then, of course, it was lockdown. So, you know, another couple of years where I don't get to do anything properly. So the end result is that, I've had a lot of dental problems, and it's really made me reassess everything. You know, the way I look at oral health. So it was just interesting and very pertinent that this brand popped up. So anyway, I thought I'd share a bit of their stuff with you. They're called Dentec, and they offer this really wide range of oral health accessories. So you've got floss, you know. And why weren't we taught this at school? Okay, I will tell you about this company in a minute. Why weren't we taught this at school? Why weren't we taught really, really early on that you have to use floss and you have to use those little sticks and, you know, and you have to use a tongue scraper? I mean, you know, it's not my favourite thing, right? But we're meant to do it. Maybe you were taught in school. Perhaps it's different now. But certainly when I was a kid, it was not talked about, really not talked about at all. And even dentists didn't tell me about it. That's the actual reality. That's the truth. I've really thought long and hard about this one. And I've seen, you know, a whole bunch of dentists. And up until recent years, none of them have ever mentioned this. So anyway, Dentec have a wide range of oral health accessories, from floss picks, roll floss, to tongue cleaners, scrapers, interdental brushes and picks. And they say 77% of tooth decay starts between the teeth, but only 30% of us floss on a regular basis. So we're just not getting between the teeth. Brushing with a toothbrush alone will only clean 60% of the tooth. So to hit the other 40% that the toothbrush can't get to, we really need these oral hygiene products. And their message is prevention is better than cure. Oh, how I wish I'd done that. And this brand have got their eco credentials too. They're on a mission to source sustainable materials and trying to transform their entire range from single-use plastic. So they've got these great little interdental brushes that are made using birchwood, that create less waste and use less energy in manufacturing, and they plant more trees than they use. And they also use a bioresin made from sugarcane plants to manufacture the floss pick products. So brush up your oral care routine with Dentec. And they've got this lovely phrase, mind the gaps. And you can find their products in most major stores, Boots, Lloyd's Pharmacy. They've got them in Sainsbury's, Waitrose, I think, Ocado's, Superdrug. And you can also get them through the Dentec website. Dentec, dentek.com or dentek-eu.com. So it's D-E-N-T-E-K. So don't be like me. Please look after your teeth. I'm now on a mission to encourage the kids as well. I can't bear to, you know, watch them have to go through what I've gone through. But young people are a bit brighter, aren't they? They're not drinking the way we used to either. Thank goodness. There's been such a shift in attitude, you know, I think, with millennials, with young people who are, you know, with kind of even teenagers. A lot of them are just realizing this is just totally literally a waste of money, and it's not serving me. And there's much more awareness now about mental health and well-being, and I think more and more people are recognizing that all alcohol does is literally exacerbate the problem, and, you know, encourage ill health and God knows what else. And it is interesting how we, but you know, I say that, but by the same token, there is still these kind of messages that are deeply ingrained in us that when something happens or when something changes, we need to reach for alcohol. And someone in the sober club was saying that they had some kind of pain. I don't think it was tooth pain, but some kind of pain. And the automatic kind of thinking is to numb this pain, to feel better, I need alcohol. And yeah, I guess it takes your mind off it for, you know, a few minutes. But look what else it does. You know, it's a depressant. We really forget that, you know, this stuff about the reality of booze. Anyways, you've heard me say it a million times. I know you have. And we have so many resources. If you haven't heard me talk about it before, then please join us in the Sober Club. It is absolutely chock full of resources of every aspect of health and well-being, and it includes a course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze. So it's very low cost, it's very high value. Of course I'd say that, wouldn't I? But it is. We have enjoyed this interview with a Sober Club member. Well, I'm absolutely chuffed to be able to chat to a Sober Club member who I've known for a while now. And it's just so great to get different perspectives. And it's always lovely when we do a Zoom session and Ivan pops up. So Ivan Majors, welcome. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for the warm welcome.
So tell us a little bit about you, because originally you're from Ireland, but now living in the US.
That is true. So born and raised in the west of Ireland in Galway, and the middle of five children. But I've lived in the States more than half of my life, which is something, funny to realise about yourself.
Wait, but you haven't lost your accent at all, have you? Got that beautiful Irish accent.
I tried to keep it, and it got me out of a speeding ticket this morning.
Really? Yes. Well, it sounded so charming.
Oh, I dialed it in, believe me. I just got the warning. But yes, I suppose I studied languages growing up. My parents had taken us all over the continent, and from there I fostered a real love of languages and ended up doing study abroad in Germany in Bamberg when I was, I think, 19, and met and fell in love with my husband. I think it'll be 35 years this year. But we ended up moving from Germany to the States, and I think we're on about our 14th move. I started to count it this morning. Oh, wow. And I decided to stop.
Whereabouts are you now then?
Right now we're in central Pennsylvania, so near the historic battlefields of Gettysburg and not too far from Philadelphia and Washington, D.C.
Wow, amazing. So yeah, take us back then to your... Tell us your drinking story. What, you know, I'm guessing there's a few tales, as it's Ireland.
Hey, well, you know, I grew up in a wonderful family dynamic. My father was very much into civic affairs, and they lived during the era of the big bands. And he was a member or leader in the rugby club, chamber of commerce president, et cetera, et cetera. Took us all over Europe, like I said, so a very dynamic family environment. I suppose, yes, the Irish backdrop would be that it's almost like a rite of passage or just kind of a given that you drink. But when I say that, I think I was 17 and I remember going to a disco, as we did, and, you know, having maybe a Bailey's or a half of a pint of Harp. Sounds awful right now. I'm sure it doesn't taste great. And so just, you know, out having a wild social life and just small imbibing, but still doing it, you know, and going out every weekend. And then in our family dynamic, my father loved his wine. And so it was very celebratory, but it was never brought into the house. It was the 80s, you know, high unemployment and that. He was raising five children. So it was a Friday night treat. And then
that's true, actually. Just back in those days, people really actually didn't drink at home, did they? It was quite unusual.
They didn't. So, yes. And so that, and then with their dress dances, dinner parties, it would flow. And then when we were, you know, in Spain and France and places, he certainly liked to enjoy it. But if I reflect, very controlled, you know, but it was a joyous thing.
Okay, interesting.
Kind of revered, I suppose.
Yeah. When did it kind of ramp up for you then?
It took a long, long time, I would say. So, like I said, when met and married, my husband moved, enjoyed our beer festivals in Germany, you know, and God knows, I think we were drinking Litersteins and all the Bratwurst and everything else that went along with it. I would say, and in reflecting, you know, I've learned a lot about myself, and I've learned about the reasons why people might sometimes dial it up is, you know, anger, feelings of what do we talk about? Hunger, anger, lonely.
Yeah, halt. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So when my husband proposed, and he is everything opposite to me, he's a great linear rational thinker. He did say, you know, we're going to live in a lot of different places. He was in the US military. Some of them won't always be glamorous. I really wasn't clearly listening. And so, you know, we got to some of these places, and, you know, I'm like, where's the downtown? He's like, there is no downtown, honey. Like, so I think I probably then transitioned to wine again. No in the gutter moment. We're talking about Friday night, Saturday night, enjoying it. And so I would say, as we moved around, and I did have feelings of loneliness, which I can now articulate, because we were in places that were far from the roots of where I had grown up. Maybe I started to have some more to kind of suppress those feelings. And of course, it took me a while to unpack that. But it was truly, I think, when I was managing a team. I am a high empath, the middle of five, the diplomat, the peacekeeper. And I probably over-associated with my team. So I'm trying.
What kind of work do you do?
Sales. And it was educational technology sales. So we were on the road a lot.
Right.
And, you know, managing their dynamics and helping them grow and thrive and everything. And I would find what I found happened is that on the Friday night, what was once an enjoyable thing with my takeout food, or that became a necessary thing. It's like my relationship changed with it. And it was something to probably stuff down the emotion of managing through all the stressors.
Yeah, totally makes sense.
Yeah, but that's now been, I will be alcohol-free 5 years this coming July.
Fantastic. Amazing.
Yeah, actually on my father's birthday.
Amazing. So when did you kind of make the decision then? What was it that brought you to the decision? Because obviously, as you say, it's not really a rock bottom moment, you know, just like I didn't. But I'm guessing you know, as a woman, as you're, you know, kind of thinking about your health moving forward, I'm guessing you must have had a few goes around the block, did you, before it stuck?
Absolutely. So I think I became self-aware that I wasn't really enjoying it. In fact, my body was telling me, because on a Friday night, I would buy this bottle of Pinot Noir, and some Friday nights it tasted great. And then the next Friday, I'm like, well, it must be rancid. It tastes awful. My body was literally giving me a message.
Yeah.
But then a friend invited me very last minute to go to Peru, hiking to Machu Picchu. And I did that just 6 years ago now. And what happened is, when we got there, you fly to sea level at Lima, but then you go up to Cusco at 15,000 feet, and they tell you, don't drink as you acclimate before we now hike 11 hours a day into Machu Picchu. And as I was sitting there, not having my glass of wine with my nice dinner in this beautiful exotic location, I thought, maybe I don't need it. And then over the hiking, over the next few days, you really are alone with your thoughts. There were only 14 of us in the group and our guides. And, you know, you're meeting villagers who've lived in these mountains forever and with nothing. I mean, we brought them little treats as we passed through. And I suddenly started to think, maybe I could part ways with this. And so that was kind of my moment.
Yeah, fantastic. And then, and how difficult or easy was it for you then? Did it flow relatively effortlessly?
I have to say it did, but I will say that growing up, you know, my mother always brought awareness to all sorts of ideas for self-help or wellness in our house. It was acupuncture and massage and all sorts of holistic therapies. And so because I'd had it in my thoughts a long time to separate, I started to doubt whether I could do it. So I sought out a course that was a 6-week online course, and I subscribed to that. And by the time I got there on day one, I was so ready to part ways with the thoughts that circulate in your head, the management of it. Do I have some? Do I not? And it was instantaneous because that teacher at the time said, you know, we're going to try this for whatever it was. It was a 6-week course, but I think she said 100 days. She said, you can always go back to it if you choose, but know that if you do, you will go back to the very same habits or more, because that is the nature of this beast.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so the minute she said that, I was like, done, all or nothing.
Great. You already had that kind of foundation piece of knowing a little bit about the well-being stuff, of knowing how you could support yourself. And that must have made a very big difference.
Absolutely. And I think just the coursework, I mean, between being a subscriber now to your club and that, the awareness that you start to unpack. And I was even talking to my sister this morning about this. It's so romanticized, and especially for, I think, women, and seen as a given to have it offset stressors if parenting, or I don't mean to say it's not happening for men either, but suddenly as I started to look around and open my health magazine and see images of women scaling mountains and looking so fit, and they're promoting that it was due to the pomegranate heart seltzer that was fueling them up that mountain, all of those messages are washing over you, telling you it's okay to have it.
Totally. Yeah.
Really crazy.
Yeah. And so tell us about your life now then, because obviously you've been over relatively recently to the UK, haven't you, in Ireland, so you know what the kind of scene is here in terms of our alcohol-free drinks and all the rest of it. What's it like where you are?
You know, there's a real movement taking place. In fact, we most of the time live in Austin, Texas. We just happen to be here for a year for professional development, my husband. But in Austin, there's a gentleman who is leading a real movement there, and he's opened something called a sans bar, like without in French, sans. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he is doing pop-ups all over the US, and I'm reading his messages, and people are saying, oh my goodness, can you come to Nashville and do one?
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, so it is gaining movement here.
Good. That's really good to hear. I mean, I've often said to, you know, to podcast guests, you know, it's one of the few things we are ahead of you in the States, but, you know, it's changing. Thankfully, you know, they're really coming up now with choices of alcohol free drinks and the movement itself.
Yes. And I think in the States, alcohol probably comes into the home more than I don't know. Back in Ireland now, is there that culture of buying it as part of your groceries? You know?
Oh, God, yeah. In the UK, well, very much so.
Okay. Mm. So yeah, I will say though, I'm in a new role to me after 14 years with my other company. I'm with a new company. And even when I went to meet my colleagues for the first time 2 weeks ago, they've only known me through Zoom. And, you know, we saddle up to the bar and I say, do you have, you know, anything other than sparkling water? And they're like, you don't drink? You know, their face has dropped. And so there still is that odd perception of what it is, right? That it's this glorified thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And they're probably thinking to themselves, hold on a minute, she's this fabulous, fun, you know, professional, great person. What do you mean she doesn't drink? Ah, well, it is actually possible.
It is actually possible.
Yeah, amazing. So yeah, just share for us the importance for you of the kind of connection piece, because it's been, you know, wonderful to have you as part of the Sober Club, even though you're 5 years sober. And I think that's what's great about our community, is that people are at all different stages, but it's never only about just not drinking, is it?
No, that's actually the easy part. It's everything you unpack about your life and yourself afterwards, where the growth comes. So your club was referred to me by a friend whom I've known, and she's in Australia. Here I am in Pennsylvania and you're in the UK. Excuse me. And she referred me to your club. And I joined it and I can't break up with it.
Good.
No, I haven't even tried. But it's what it brings. And of course, you as the leader, because it's all about the dynamic in the club, is really this welcoming, no shame, all-inclusive zone where we can bring our authentic selves and share the good and the bad and the ugly. And I am not a big subscriber to social media stuff, but every morning when I wake up, I love logging on and connecting with the community. And even last night, I don't even know where everyone is, but I'm like, oh, they, you know, it's 10 o'clock my time. You see an inquiry coming in where someone's looking for a resource and everyone weighs in. And that is really the beauty of it.
Yeah.
And we're a fun bunch.
And it's that, I think it's that piece as well, as even if you've been sober for, you know, 3 years or whatever, or a few months, you're probably looking at something else. There's probably something else going on in your life that someone else will have been through, been there, done it, got the t-shirt, right? So I really do think it's that connection piece. When, I mean, certainly I've found, what I found really quite interesting is how wonderful it is to see people find, really get a sense of their purpose. You must have felt this with even more clarity when you've been sober for a while. You just have that sense of what you're meant to be doing.
Absolutely. And, you know, I call myself a slow learner because while I have been alcohol free for nearly 5 years, it took me a long time to decide to separate from this company that was wonderful to me for many years. But when I started to think about it and the over-association, it's like I was serving everyone else almost in the role from birth as the peacekeeper and moderator of all things, and really to focus on myself and look inwards. And so every year gets better. And that's why I think community, the minute I took that course 5 years ago, it was the community that I connected with, and also unpacking your stories and leaving them there in the internet, right? Just getting rid of whatever shame, thoughts, residual thoughts. And then now we have the space to thrive. Mm. And actually, I'm hoping with that friend who referred you to, we're talking about doing a grand tour of the UK.
Is it Cindy?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to put on a retreat just for you guys. I mean, come on, we gotta meet up. It's going to be great.
Well, no, and I'm following these van lifers who are touring. I think they just did Northumberland. And I'm like, oh, I hope there's some club members there because I want to go to that castle.
Oh, great.
So yes, it is. I can't say enough about it.
Brilliant. Yeah. No, if you had to kind of sum up then for you, I know this is an impossible question, but just sum up it, you know, just a few of the ways that choosing to be sober has changed you, has impacted on your life, how would you do that? I should have given you time to prep that, but you know, off the top of your head.
I work in sales, so I did do a little thinking ahead. It has given me the most amazing peace of mind. It has allowed me to engage my rational brain, because I was always labeled the wild or giddy child, kind of almost that ADHD tendency, but I don't really like the idea of labels, but I can now think through whatever the dynamic is, family situations, relationships, finances, whatever you're working on, and come to the best outcome for us, because I have that peace of mind.
Yeah, I love that.
There's nothing else distracting me.
That is such an amazing benefit to share, because I think that I was talking to a client actually about something like that earlier, and people call it different things, but maybe sometimes it's about being sort of brought back, feeling of balance, that feeling of being grounded and balanced. And I was talking to this client who'd had something really disruptive going on and just chaotic. And really it does come back to that sense of, okay, so stuff is happening and we can't, there's nothing we can do about that. That's called life, isn't it? But we can change how we, you know, how we react. And if we could bottle that sense of peace, we'd have no problem selling this, would we? You're in sales.
there you go. So I like to say, my sister had said this to me once, I now truly kind of only choose to do those things that deposit in my emotional bank account.
Yeah, love
and
it.
And so for me, being able to say no, I was so attuned to just saying yes, yes, yes to everything. That feels like growth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, saying no is an act of proper self-care, isn't it? Being able to say no.
It is. And the first times are hard. And you actually said it in Happy November. And I was like, I like to sponge things up. And I went out and started practicing that. And it feels so good because, I was overcommitting, always on a short hook,
Yeah. Yeah. And does your husband drink?
Barely. And he has said to me lately, the few beers he has at a weekend, he goes, I'm not enjoying
this. Why am I bothering? Yeah.
Yeah, why am I bothering?
You're shining that light, aren't you?
So I think he'll part ways with it. Mm. Friday, he's going to be the chief chili maker for a cook-off as part of his the class and seminar he's belonging to. And I'm sure he'll have a few then, but he really doesn't need it anymore.
Interesting. Amazing. Ivan, it's just fantastic to chat to you. I love it. I love reading your posts and hearing about the stuff that you do. And thank you for describing that to us. I just think it's really nice to be able to share stories that, we're not talking, there's no rock bottom moments here, but just look at the change in you. It's amazing, isn't it? It's really amazing when I think that's kind of the hardest thing to describe to other people, how massive the change is, even though you were never to be found in a skip.
No, high functioning and going about life every day. Yeah, to me, it's life altering and it's the best gift I've ever given myself. So I was doing the math, I think from 17 to mid 50s, I had it. And now I think maybe I've got 40 more good years left.
Yeah.
My mom's 93 in Ireland. So
wonderful.
Good
yeah.
enough. Genes
it definitely gives you a different outlook for the future as you get older. You will have heard me say that I was terrified of getting older. I really was. I really, in my darkest moments, just could not cope with that, with anything about aging, anything. And now I feel completely differently. I'm absolutely blessed to be able to get old. Because you're giving yourself the best chance, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And even this week I filled out that doctor's form and I said, no alcohol.
I know. How cool is that?
Jumping jacks and
a little buzz every time you kick.
Yes.
fill that out, right?
There you go.
Brilliant. Thank you, Ivan. I really appreciate it. So lovely having you part of our club and look forward to meeting you in the summer. Can't wait.
Yes. The roadshow is coming. I look forward to it.
Cheers. Thank you.
Cheers. Take care.
Thank you so much. It's lovely to hear your story. And we will, I'll interview some more Sober Club members. It's really lovely to get a different take on everything. Don't forget, you can join us, thesoberclub.com. On a completely separate note, for anybody who is thinking, if you've been sober for a while, you're thinking maybe it's time to inspire other people. Maybe there's another little sideline or separate career waiting for you somewhere in the future. Or maybe you just want to help support friends and family. Then I do have another Sober Coach training program coming up in March. There's a couple of spaces left only. So we start with 2 days, March 24th, 25th, and then we do 4 or 5 weeks online. You become part of our community. It's ongoing mentoring and support. It's very comprehensive. We cover absolutely everything. It's getting ever so exciting watching some of the work that our coaches are doing. It's great because there are so many different ways of working with this. And what's just wonderful is that the more different ways we have of people spreading this message, the better it is, right? It doesn't matter whether you're working one-to-one with someone, whether you've got a program out there, whether you're taking people for walks, or you have a little cafe, or you hold meetups. It doesn't really matter which way you do this. It doesn't matter which way you come to sobriety either, does it? What matters is that there's enough people to raise awareness and share these messages of positive sobriety, not this piece of having to rock up somewhere talking about how awful everything is and grit your teeth for one more day. This is about literally choosing positive sobriety, that
well-being through sobriety piece, so that you focus on living your best life, a life you don't need to escape from, right? That's the thing, isn't it? That's the underlying piece when the sobriety lays the foundations for it all. So anyways, if that's something that interests you, or you know somebody who maybe they're already working as a practitioner or a coach and they want to add these skills on, just drop me a message. I'm very easy to find at Janie Lee Grace, all across social media, or go to the Sober Club and message me through there. And of course, I must ask you, if you haven't already watched my second TEDx talk, then I'd really appreciate if you give it a little watch. It's not too long. And give it a thumbs up. And if you could bear to write a comment, if you can bear to write a comment on there, it makes such a big difference. It just spreads these messages. And people love TED Talks, don't they? Because, you know, there's just so many different ways of looking at different aspects. So if you haven't seen it yet, it's called Could Curiosity Be Your Superpower? And if you just go to YouTube, Janie Lee Grace TEDx, you'll find it there. And yeah, I really appreciate the messages I've already had. Some really lovely messages about the TEDx talk. It's so appreciated. It's such a massive thing, doing something like that. It kind of consumes you for months. It's all you can think about for like one really short talk. But you know, it's a thing, isn't it? Because of course it stays online, and you never know who you might reach with that, with those kind of little messages. It's just sowing some seeds, isn't it? Of possibility. So yeah, Could Curiosity Be Your Superpower is the TEDx talk. Thanks again to Dentec Oral Hygiene Products that teamed up with us this week for the podcast. I meant to say, actually, there is a competition to win over 50 quid's worth of the Dentec oral products. So if you go to imperfectlynatural.com, you'll find it there. I'll put it in the show notes as well. I'll see you next week. Don't forget, if you've got suggestions of great guests for me, then I'm always open to hear your suggestions. And if you can connect me with said guest, even better. If you are in the middle of your, I don't know, if you started Dry January, so now you'd be, I don't know what, sort of 5-6 weeks, then keep going. Keep going. This is a really exciting bit. It starts to get good. Okay, it really starts to get good if you focus on what you're gaining. Dry January is hard. It can be really hard for people, even though other people are not drinking, perhaps. The focus, it just can feel very, very tough. But if you've carried on, and if so, well done you, then just keep focusing on everything you're gaining, because, you know, you've got nothing to lose, right? Literally nothing to lose, everything to gain. Sobriety rocks. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.